make sure you take your shoes with you. Angie, thanks again. Man, what a beautiful praise song. With people who have beautiful voices and lift your hands up to an almighty God. It don't get any better than that, folks. Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. I've always admired people who have the talent to sing and to lead us in praise worship. I think that's a very important part of any service, whether we're singing higher ground. Now, obviously, that's the first time doing it like that, so it took us a little while. But there's nothing any better than some of these old gospel songs. People put it in different ways, put different instruments with it or no instruments with it. But Higher Ground is a song that probably one of the very first songs when I started leading singing when I was 16 years of age. That was about 10 years ago. And that was one of the first songs that I ever learned to lead in my congregation. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. Do we need to hear that? Don't you need help? I need help to stand me up, to lift me up, to get me through this whole world, to get me out of bed, to get me motivated, to get me to live for the Lord. I need some help. Help me stand. Help me live. Help me get to the higher ground. We need to get to the higher places of life, because Satan will try to get you to the low places, knock you down, beat you down. When we put Jesus first, he will lift us to higher ground. Everybody agree with that? Give the Lord a hand of applause in his house. Now, I'm going to switch a little bit to the book of Psalms. I love the book of Proverbs. Psalms is a different book. It's more like a book of poetry, very powerful book. A lot of some of the greatest scriptures that we know come out of the book of Psalms. David wrote probably 85-90% of them. They're heart-reaching, praise, if you will, scriptures. That look, again, a book of advice, but comes from a little different personality because David and Solomon were two different people. So they're going to write in different ways. You know, I could write you a letter, someone else could write you a letter, and it's going to be different. So it's different, but it's God's Word, and we're going to study out of this for a while. Now, let me tell you something else, and this is more for some of the internet people that watch me. I, for the last, probably 2 out of the last 4 years, I've concentrated on the book of Revelation. I actually preached it chapter by chapter by chapter by chapter. Then I went back about 6-7 months later, and I sort of just picked out different verses, but sort of preached through the book of Revelation again, because I feel like it is so applicable to the time and age in which we live. And at times when I do that, my internet crowd is bigger, because a lot of people are interested in that. And then I leave it for a while, because, you know, there's a whole lot of other stuff in God's Word. But I don't know how many requests that I have gotten from people who want me to go back to the book of Revelation. Now, I'm praying about that. Now, I know some of you may be getting a little tired of that because there's so much other stuff I can preach on. But understand, I think the world is reaching as we get to the end of time. What's going to happen? How this world is standing? What this country's doing? Will it be a part of the last days? All kinds of questions that people ask me because they see the world. And they see what's going on in our own country, in spite of the politics. I mean, that's just one chapter of it, okay? But understand that everything that's happening in our country, as well as the world, is getting ready for Jesus to come. We have to understand that. It doesn't keep us from thinking, man, look what kind of shape this country's in. We've got people in their 70s, 80s, and 90s that have told me, I never thought I'd ever see our country in the shape it's in today. They lived in a different era, a different time. But they've lived long enough to see what changes have taken place over the last 30, 40, 50 years. I'm praying about that. I don't know if I'm going to do that again as we get on through the rest of this year, but I'm praying about it. I have to do what the Lord puts upon my heart. And if I choose to go back to the book of Revelation, will you take the ride with me again? Say amen.
Amen.
We'll just see what happens as God leads us. Are you ready for biblical advice? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go, Brother Larry. Psalms, chapter 119. Now, 119 is one of the longest chapters in God's Word, but we just took out five verses to look at something. I want you to look at verse 73, Psalms 119. Thy hands have made me. I like that. You know, I can be old, I can be fat, I can be ugly, or I can be pretty, I can be thin, I can have short hair, long hair, white, black, green, yellow, male, female, Indian. I don't care what you are. God made you.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hammer applause in the eyes. And look at this. And fashion me. Now, a lot of women may say, oh, that means fashion is okay. That's not what that means. What it says here, and fashion me, means we were made in His image. Do you understand that? Do you see that? We are made in the likeness of God. So with that in mind, understand how God truly needs to be treated on how we treat each other. When you see somebody, you're looking into the hands and the face of God. Now, when you think about it that way, we might want to remember how we treat other people. And fashion me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. This understanding here, I need that every day of my life. There's not a day goes by that I don't need understanding. I need to be challenged in my thinking. I need to be challenged in what I see, what I read, so that I can be careful not to get absorbed by what all Satan's throwing at me. You look around, Satan's throwing everything at you. Do you know that? From the time that you wake up until you go to bed, Satan is throwing everything at you.
Amen.
Sometimes you don't see it. That's when it's bad, when you don't see it. This is why I say all the time, I said in Sunday school class this morning, you have to understand something. If you don't learn to put Jesus in front of you so that you follow Him, you're heading into a mess. I don't know how to make it any more simpler than that. If you don't follow Jesus, you're heading into a mess. Because that means you're following yourself. Satan loves it when you follow yourself. Don't follow yourself. You're not that holy. You're not that smart. You're not that strong. You need to understand, the only reason that you are allowed to stand the way you stand today is because you put Jesus into your life. Now, that doesn't mean just because you put Jesus into your life, Satan's going to leave you alone. Now, you know better than that. I've taught you better than that. Matter of fact, the more you put Jesus in your life, the more Satan's going to come at you. But listen to me closely. You keep Satan in front. Because when you do that, that means you're also keeping Jesus in front. Don't let Satan slip up behind you. And he can do it. He can do it fast before you can even turn around. From the moment that my feet hit the floor, and the older I get, it takes me a little longer for that to happen. I say, Lord, I don't know where I'm going today, where my path's going to lead. I don't know what's going to happen when my phone rings. I don't know what I'm going to see today. But Father, direct my path and lead my path. Give the Lord a hand of applause. They that fear thee shall see me and be glad, because I have hope in thy word. Now they that fear thee shall see me. That is a phrase of saying everybody needs to be able to see the grace of God in us. The more of God's grace they see in us, the more they will see God. See, God is intangible. No, you don't see it. They see us. They hear us. They watch us. So as we, as Christian people, live out our lives following Jesus, then that's what people are going to see. When they see me, are they going to see Jesus or are they going to see Satan? Well, it's going to what day of the week is. What I'm dealing with. What kind of pressure I'm under. What kind of stress am I under? Because that's what Satan does. He tries to trip you, tries to put you under all this anxiety, which we talked about this morning in Sunday school too. That is the number one health issue of the day, is anxiety. Not cancer, not heart. Anxiety. It's killing people because they can't seem to control it. Another word, some people call it worry. Some call it being nervous. Some call it being distracted. Whatever the case may be, Satan wants you distracted. And he'll try to put situations in front of you that distract you. Don't do that. Understand one thing. Keep your focus and your mind upon Jesus. Because when you do, then it says you see me in fear, here means respect. If someone respects you, they will see Jesus in you. Because why? Because you've hoped in His Word. You've studied His Word. You've listened to His Word. And that Word can be the Bible, or it can be how God speaks to you through prayer time. Either way, understand, we have a responsibility as godly people to pray every day, read God's Word every day, and attend the church that we love and get involved in, and understand that we live in a world that's trying to destroy the church, trying to destroy Christian people, and trying to destroy you. And sometimes when we look around, we do get distracted. We say, man, Satan's winning. The Bible even says toward the end, there'll be this great falling away. Let me tell you this. Don't be a part of that group. I don't care if there's two people. Anything that you attend, Jesus will be with it. If Jesus is invited. We invite Jesus here. We want Jesus here. And when you come in with Jesus in you, you bring a part of Jesus in this building when you come in. Now believe it or not, Satan's come in this building several times. You believe that? I guarantee you, Satan loves to come to church. He loves to tear the church up. But if he can tear it up, he tears a piece of Christ's heart out with him every time. Now, and that's very easy to do. If I'm not careful, I'll bring Satan in when I walk in the door. Because of my prejudice, because of my attitude, because of things I have dealt with. Don't do that. I always say, Lord, give me strength. I don't want to work for Satan today. I want to work for you today. I want you to be a part of my life today so that I can make a difference in someone's life. And sometimes, believe this or not, I'll go a whole day, and according to what my schedule is and what I'll do, I may not see another person. But you know whose life I make a difference in? Maybe today I need to make a difference in my life. You get that? You understand that? Go over to Heaven while. I know, O God, that thy judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Now, you'll see some of this said a lot sometimes in the book of Psalms. It's like saying, I know that I'm a sinner. Thank you, Father, for convicting me. Now that sounds a little weird, don't it? I'm thankful for conviction. Conviction's what guides us. Guides us inwardly. Guides our mind. Guides our heart. If we didn't have conviction, we'd be animals. We'd live anyway. Do anything. Say anything. But conviction works in our heart. And if you're a Christian person, you need to feel conviction. Because you're not perfect, nor will you ever be perfect until we all get into heaven and get in front of the perfect one who made heaven for you and I. Until that point, we're sinners saved by grace. Two groups of people. Sinners saved by grace and sinners. You've been in both groups. You understand that? You've been in both groups. I hope now that you're in the group that's called sinners saved by grace. Don't get yourself above somebody else. Understand. As soon as you think you're holier than thou, you're ready for the biggest fall of your life. Don't act that way. Don't be that way. Don't be arrogant about that. You understand, you're here by God's amazing and wonderful grace. And that's the only reason that you're here. So, when it says here, I know, O God, that thy judgments are righteous. Understand, God is right. And when you accept that, you accept it. And when you do, you know that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Afflicted here means correct. You corrected me. Now, when you're a child, you have to correct a child. How you choose to correct that child is up to you. But you're responsible for that child. That correction can come in many different forms. Come in a spanking, punishment, time out. I say this all the time. I don't mean for it to be funny, but it's just a different generation. My mom and dad didn't know what time out was. All my dad knew was knockout. And there was a difference. He didn't mean to hurt me. He didn't hurt me, but he got my attention. That was just a different generation. Now I know today we've got people who harm children. Now let me say this to you. God says, Jesus said, woe to anyone that harms a child. There is a difference between correcting a child and harming a child. There is a big difference. You should know that. And you'll know that if you're a Christian mom or a Christian dad. But nevertheless, there's nothing wrong with correcting your child. You have to do that. If not, they're not going to know boundaries. They're not going to know right from wrong unless you correct them. And as they get older, that correction may come in different forms. Whatever it takes to get their attention. I didn't get a whipping from after I, the last whipping I remember, I was about 6 or 7 years old. But it wasn't because I was perfect. It was because my parents were smart enough to know that as I got up older and I got bigger, from the time I was 12 years old, I was 6'1". I weighed 190 pounds, 200 pounds. I was 12 years old. You going to whip me? Well, go for it. I'd like for you to do it. That'd be fine. My dad was 6 foot, weighed 180 pounds. He's going to whip somebody 6'1", weighs 200. You know, as a matter of fact, I would have loved that. But you see, my parents got a little smarter as I got older. And so now what they do is instead of getting my attention with a spanking, then they begin to take things away. I love being outside. I love playing sports. Well, maybe we can't go outside today. Maybe we can't play with the basketball today. Maybe we cannot be with the friends today. And the more you cry, the longer you'll be punished. So if you don't go cry in your room, go cry for 5 or 10 minutes, and then I'd say, let's just shut up about it. When you've learned your lesson, you get your privileges back. And understand, that's called privilege. Okay? And they made me understand, when we allow you to do something, it's a privilege. You're not an adult yet. Now, times went on, and then I got older. The punishment sometimes fit the age. Now I'm driving an automobile. Keys have been given to me. Car was bought for me. Insurance was paid for me. Not one spoiled rotten. Don't get that impression. And say this, we'll trust you until you give us a reason not to. And so if I did something wrong, now I'm 6'1", weigh 225 pounds. My dad ain't going to whip me. He's going to say, give me the keys. Whip me, Dad. All the way here, whip me. Whip me. All 10 minutes, whip me till you're happy. No. No, why would I want to do that? Just give me the keys. Now, I lived far enough away that I couldn't walk, so I had to ride a bus. Who, a junior and senior in high school, rides a bus? With all these other little brats on there. Whatever it takes to get your attention. You understand that? And that's what God has to do to us sometimes. He has to get our attention. What is it that He has to do to get our attention? This is why it says, that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Teach. My dad would always say this. This is to teach you. I've heard that in my sleep today. Alright. Let I pray thee, thy loving kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let I pray thee, thy loving kindness be for my comfort. Lord, I just need to feel your love today. But when you say that in your prayer, you'll feel His love. Doesn't mean He's going to prove everything you do. Doesn't mean He's going to answer every prayer that you pray. But just say, Lord, I need your kindness today. God's kindness will give you comfort. If you want comfort, comfort does not mean lack of pain. Whether that's physical pain, spiritual pain, whatever pain that is. Comfort means I can deal with the pain. When you have surgery, you come out of that, you know sometimes you don't feel too bad because they've given you pain medicine. Then they got to wean you off that pain medicine. When they wean you off that pain medicine, you feel pain. But it still doesn't mean it doesn't get to the point where you can't function. You're comfort enough that, hey, it moves. We've got all these people here that have knee replacements, hip replacements, every kind of replacement there is. Everybody's here replaced something, haven't you? If you're old enough. We live in a world where you've replaced it with something. All right? Well, that comes at a price. I ain't talking about insurance. That's a whole other sermon. But it comes at a price. Understand this. God can give us kindness and comfort according to the word unto thy servant. Look how this closes out. Let thy tender mercies come upon me. See that? That I may live for thy love. Break it down real quick. Let thy tender mercies come unto me. Tender, loving, caring, mercy. I need that every day of my life. I need that. I need His grace, His forgiveness, His mercy every day of my life so that I can live. Understand something, folks. There's a difference between being alive and living. There's a lot of people that are alive, but they ain't living. You'd be amazed how some people live. You know, you don't really truly know what it is to live until you walk and follow Jesus Christ. Okay, because you want to be more than alive. You want to be living. You want to be caring. You want to live life to the fullest. Doesn't mean perfect. Living life to the fullest doesn't mean perfect. Doesn't mean that everything on this planet is going to go right for you. That's not going to happen. That's not promised anywhere in God's Word. But living means that I feel God's presence in my life. That's called living. Let thy tender mercies come on me that I may live. And look what it says. For thy law is my delight. When you follow all of this, law means His advice. When you follow Jesus and His advice, you're living by His law. Law is there to protect you. The laws that we have in our land, the human laws are there to protect us. When you break those laws, a lot of times if you get caught, you're going to get punished. But these are God's laws. God's way of guiding us. And when we do that, when we follow them and know His mercies and learn how to live, then life becomes perfect. But the life and the fact. Not that my job's wonderful. Not that my family's not crazy. Not that my children don't act up. Not that I've got all the money I need. That doesn't mean that. It just means that every day by God's grace, I'm allowed to live life. And I'm going to be thankful for it. And whatever comes my way, I'm going to give God the glory for it. Because He knows better than I do. Do you get the message? Do you receive it? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Father, how precious Your Word is. How it can guide our minds and our hearts. Father, it is my prayer, if you're watching by internet today, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you do not, the greatest decision you'll ever make in this lifetime, period, is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's very simple to do. You just ask the Lord to forgive you. You tell Him that you want to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You believe that by faith. When you do that, a change will come over you. You find you a good church home. You tell that minister, that clergy, what you've done. Let them celebrate that with you. And life will be ever-changing for you. Understand, Jesus loves you. Father, bless this congregation and bless our church. May everything that we do be pleasing to you. Father, bless this invitation. To those who need a quiet time at this altar or those who may need me to pray with them. May your grace abound. In Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus.